Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
I want to talk to you about spiritual vision today, seeing things through spiritual eyes. And I'm going to, first of all, read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, talking about your spiritual sight this morning. And 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. There it is. Here we go. I want you to pay real close attention here to this about the Lord opening up your spiritual eyes, okay? It's going to lay a foundation for the sermon. I'm going to go quite quickly through 16 verses here. You'll remember, friends, Paul said, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, and then Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this, and I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental and emotional footwork by me or anyone else. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it's not popular wisdom, fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring us his best in us, out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what his eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on the cross. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this, never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way. This unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, cannot receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. The Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15 says this, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts, the teachings, and the revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned. and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man, say spiritual man, but the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, he investigates, he inquires into, and he questions and discerns all things. So we're talking this morning about the Lord opening our spiritual eyes. Now, the worship team has a song that they like to sing, the little Lester lady, where's the Lester lady? Over there, raise your hand. Stand up. Let everybody take a look at you. Turn around. Go ahead and look at it. See how pretty she is? That's right. Now, she sings a song. You can sit down now. She sings a song, and it goes like this. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Sounds just like her. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And so my message today is entitled this, Spiritual Sight. Now the idea of having the Lord open our spiritual eyes is so that we might see things that God wants us to see that we would not ordinarily be able to see without his help. And so things that we are blind to, unless he opens our eyes to see those things, and unless he opens our ears to hear and our hearts to understand, we're not going to get it. It can only be spiritually seen. Remember Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where the Bible says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Spiritually discern what God is saying. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, get godly wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get godly wisdom. And with all you're getting, then you will get understanding. So in other words, open my eyes, Lord. Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. All right. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7, we read about a couple that was pretty good kids, Adam and Eve. They were pretty fancy. They took part in a forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Don't partake of that, but they did. They saw one another after that in a different light than what they saw before their spiritual eyes were opened. Verse 7 of Genesis 3 says, it says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. So what was the spiritual thing that they saw? What would the eyes of the Spirit tell them? They saw that God was not pleased with sinning. Did you know people around you every day are sinning? But their eyes are not open to it. They don't see it as sin. They just see it as what everyday living. And so they go on and you say, how can people live like that? It's because they don't have spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes help you understand when sin is sin. And they saw that there was a consequence. There's always a consequence to pay for unconfessed sin. Spiritual eyes help us see that stuff. In Numbers chapter 22, verses 10 through 12, there was a man by the name of Balaam. And Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent unto me, gave me word, and he said to me, behold, there is a people coming out of Egypt, being led by Moses, which covers the face of the earth. Come now, Balak, curse them for me. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go out there and do that. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. We know the children of Israel, and you know the story. Against the word of the Lord, Balaam got up, he hopped on his donkey, and he headed out to put a curse on the children of Israel, on the way to do exactly what God had told him not to do. God sent an invisible, visible angel to stand in the path of the donkey and to stop him from going. The donkey saw the angel, but Balaam's spiritual eyes were not open, and he did not see the angel there. And the third time of Balaam beating the donkey to make him stay on the road and keep going, God then opened up the spiritual eyes of Balaam. beating the donkey, opened up his eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the middle of the road. The donkey had an opinion about that, turned around and started talking to him. Numbers chapter 2 and verse number 31. Then the Lord opened up the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. So the question that I have to this is, what did Balaam see now that his spiritual eyes were opened? One of the things that Balaam saw was this. It says that when God tells you to go and do something, you better go and do it. Amen? And he also saw through his spiritual eyes that when God says, don't go there, you better not go there. He saw the word of the Lord was right. According to 176 verses in Psalms 119, my favorite chapter in the Bible, write it down. Go home and read it. Psalms 119. Balaam's spiritual eyes were opened to understand Psalms 119, 176 verse, which says this: if you are obedient to follow God's word, if you are obedient to follow God's word, it will keep you from sinning. He said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It will cause you to behold wondrous things about what God is doing. It's amazing that God is doing so many things around you. There are so many miracles. There are so many things happening in your life and in your life of your family. If you don't have spiritual eyes to see it, you'll have the old me syndrome. But if you have spiritual eyes, you'll have the hallelujah, praise the Lord syndrome. Can you say amen to that? It'll help you to understand the way that God wants you to live. Did you know God has a way he wants you to live? He said, herein is the way, walk ye in it. God has a way that he wants you to live. And if you will have your spiritual eyes opened, you will understand how God wants you to live. It'll keep you from being covetous. That's the basic foundation of unnecessary credit card purchases come from covetousness. It will cause you to walk in hope. There abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of them is love. It'll cause you to walk in liberty. You will be free, and you will not be bound, because Jesus said, I've come to set at liberty those that are bound. It will cause you to have comfort in affliction. Somebody said, I don't know how you can be so sick and still be so happy. It's because when you have spiritual eyes, you understand that in God, everything is going to be okay. It'll teach you to have good judgment. Don't you wish some people around you had good judgment? Say hello to that. It'll teach you to have good judgment, and it'll cause you to be wiser than your enemies. That's pretty good if you're playing chess. It'll cause you to understand what your teachers are really saying, and it will cause you to understand what the ancients in the Old Testament were trying to tell us. We need to cry out. We need to cry out over and over and over again. This needs to be our call every day. Lord, open my spiritual eyes that I might see as you would have me to see. Our daily praise should be that. In Acts chapter 7 and verse number 51, Stephen rebukes the Jews, and he took all the he had a bunch of Jews out there, and he told them, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost just like your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers. You murderers and betrayers, you have received the law by the disposition of angels, and you haven't kept it. They got so upset with Stephen telling them that they took him down on the ground, and they began to chew on his arms and his legs and his chest and his ears and his eyes. They began to gnaw on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly. See, when you have persecution, when you have trouble, when people come against you, when people lie against you, when people all call you all kinds of things except nice names. Hello, you ever have any of that? Anybody cussing you? Anybody telling you off? Anybody trying to mess up your life so you can't enjoy the good things you're doing? Well, guess what? He looked up, full of the Holy Ghost, steadfastly into heaven. Why? Because he looked at issues around him through spiritual eyes, not natural eyes. What did he see? He saw the glory of God. Well, how in the world can you see the glory of God when somebody is biting your calf? How can you see the glory of God when somebody's picking on you? How can you see the glory of God when everybody is calling you every name under the book? How can you see the glory of God? You can't in the natural, man. But if you ask God to give you spiritual eyes, nothing that will come against you will prosper. No weapon that would come against you will prosper if you see things through spiritual eyes rather than the natural eyes. He looked up into heaven. That's what his spiritual eyes saw. What did he see? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Do you see the problem makers? Do you see the idiots that's calling you every name in the book? Do you see the issues that are coming against you, the bankers, the bill collectors, all of those things come against you? Or do you see the glory of God where God says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? He saw the glory of God in the midst of trouble. He saw the glory of God in the midst of persecution. He saw the glory of God while he was busy about his everyday chores. He saw the glory of God. Everything is going to turn out okay because Jesus orders the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Hello. What are you looking at today? Are you looking at things from the natural? Are you discouraged? Are you oppressed? Are you depressed? Are you down? Are you wondering how you're going to make ends meet? Are you wondering if everything is going to work out? Are you wondering if your kids are going to finally turn and follow Jesus? Are you wondering those things? Well, guess what? If your spiritual eyes are open, you'll say everything works together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, 9 through 20, John, the revelator. He said, I'm your brother. I'm your companion in tribulation. You think you got it bad? You ought to take on some of my stuff, he said. And in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ. And so guess what? They captured me, incarcerated me, and threw me out on a lonely island all to myself. I could have looked around and I could have said, now what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? How am I going to stay warm? Well, what if it gets too hot? It's going to be cold. Well, how in the world am I going to make it if the wild animals come after me? How in the world am I? But instead of looking at things from the natural lie, he was imprisoned for preaching the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But while he's marooned as a prisoner, he wasn't looking at his circumstances. What did he see? He said, I saw on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit. I wasn't in the doldrums. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't oppressed. I wasn't looking at all my problems. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And that when he saw, God said, write a book. And he wrote the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Asia. What else did John see? Well, in Revelation, he saw things from heaven's point of view. Revelation chapter 4, he said, afterward, I looked up into heaven. Here I was, marooned on an island. I was in prison. I'd been beaten. I'd been struck down. But I looked up into heaven, and I saw God. That's the first thing I saw was God on the throne. Do you have spiritual eyes where when you get oppressed and depressed and troubled on the right hand, on the left, coming and going, can you see God on the throne? Or do you look in the face of some idiot that's trying to oppress you and depress you, which has come from Satan himself? He saw a rainbow around the throne. And he saw 24 elders around the throne, clothed in white raiment. He saw heads, crowns of gold on their head. And around the throne, he saw lightnings and thunders and voices. And, you know, that's why somebody can look and say, what kind of an idiot are you? Don't you know you're going through problems? I guess I didn't know that. Don't you know you're in prison? I guess I didn't know that. Don't you know you're broke, flattered, and flirted? No, I guess I didn't know that. Don't you know that your body is breaking down every day and you're getting older? And if you don't look out one of these days, you're going to put you in a little box made of ticky-tacky and they all look the same? Don't you understand all that? No, I guess not, because I looked up and all around me, all I can see is the glory of God. And I can see things from heaven's point of view. Spiritually opened eyes see things that our natural eye never gets to see in the natural, but they see spiritually. Everything from a heavenly perspective. That's how your light becomes a light that's set on a candlestick. That's how your light becomes a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. That's how your Christian testimony is has sucking power that causes people to want to follow you and follow the same Lord Jesus that you're following. Because if you can go through life with all of that kind of rejoicing, I want some of that instead of like an old Missouri mule eating oats out of a stovepipe. Hello. And so that brings me to my text for today and my sermon for today. Put it up there on the board. Mark 10:46. Brandon taught us just last week that James and John had to have their spiritual eyes open because they were all messed up. They said, well, can we, when we get to heaven, Lord Jesus, I mean, after all, we are your disciples. We are really, really good guys. Trust me, you know how good we really are. Man, we got halos on our head. If anybody could really see how good we really are, that would be awesome. And so we've decided, Jesus, if you let me sit on one side and John sit on the other side, that it would be wonderful. And so they were looking at things from the natural eye. But Jesus said, guess what? I'm going to teach you how to see it from the spiritual eye. Because humility, God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. And he went on and he said this. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you want to learn to be the servant of all. You don't understand my position. You want me to be a servant? I'm in my position? That's right. A servant to who? Everybody. And so Jesus opened up their spiritual eyes. And then Mark chapter 10, well, they were hanging, from that time, they hanging around Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, he was trailed by his disciples and a parade of people coming behind him. And a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He was Timaeus, sitting alongside the road. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me. And everybody around him tried to hush him up, and so he yelled all the louder, like good preachers do, Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped in his tracks, and he said to the disciples, call him. Call him over here. And so they said, Bartimaeus, it's your lucky day. Get up. Jesus is calling you to come. He threw off his coat. He was on his feet. And at once, he came up to Jesus. And Jesus said, well, what can I do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go on your way, Jesus said. Your faith has saved you. You're going to have spiritual vision. And not only that, your faith has healed you. You're going to have natural vision. And in that instant, he recovered his sight. And Jesus couldn't shake him off from that day forward. Everywhere Jesus went, Bart followed. You see, that's what happens when your spiritual eyes are open. It won't be your mother's religion anymore, it'll be yours. It won't be your great-grandmother's faith in God, it'll be yours. It won't be their prayers that are being answered, it'll be yours because your spiritual eyes are open. And when your spiritual eyes are open, this is how you know if your spiritual eyes are open, because all of a sudden you start seeing things through the eyes of the Spirit. And you start seeing things in a brand new light, the natural things around you grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, and you begin to see things the way God sees them. And so he followed Jesus. His natural eyes were open. He saw the clouds, first time he'd ever seen a cloud before. He'd never seen a camel. He touched him. felt them, felt the knuckle on the knees. He'd never seen that before. He'd never seen the colors in the clothing that the children around there wore. He never saw that. But he also had his spiritual eyes open. Your faith has healed you. You can see things now. But your faith has also saved you. You're going to see things from a spiritual perspective. So my question is this: what did he see? What did he see? Well, let's follow not blind Bartimaeus, but let's follow seeing Bartimaeus. Let's follow him. Bar, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, just followed Jesus on into Jerusalem. And the first thing that Bart saw was Jesus on a donkey riding into the city and people surrounding him by the multitudes with palm branches waving in the air. Hosanna! 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he saw. And his spiritual eyes were opened right then, immediately, and he understood something. There is nothing on planet Earth that is any more rewarding or uplifting or upbuilding. There's nothing on planet Earth that will even come close to being in a worship session where people are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. And Bart, the son of Timaeus, looked around and people had all the palm branches waving before Jesus on the donkey. And tears began to flow down his face as he began to realize, I don't have any palm branches. Everybody has palm branches but me. What am I going to worship the Lord with? And I believe that Bartimaeus looked at his coat, the same coat that just a day or so ago he threw off as he went to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, have mercy upon me. As he threw his coat down, I believe once again, he took his coat and he said, I don't have any palm branches to worship with. I don't have anything to throw before the Lord, but I will do one thing. I'll take all that I have. I'll take everything that I have, the only thing that I ever have, and I'll throw it on the ground before the Lord. And I just worship him with all my heart and soul. And I see, when you have spiritual eyes open, worship is something that you will always be involved in. You won't sit there reading the bulletin during worship. You won't sit there looking at Facebook wondering who said this about what and what's going on in the political scene today. You won't be sitting there flipping through your messages during worship. Your hands will be raised. Your heart will be open. Your coat will be on the floor because your spiritual eyes are open to understand there's nothing on planet Earth that will fix you like a great worship session before the Almighty Lord. Can you say amen to that? Nothing. Nothing. And here's what Bartimaeus saw. I'll give my all. I'll give everything I've got to God. Knowing this, that God will restore 100-fold in this life everything that you give him. Your selfishness is gone when your spiritual eyes are open. Your self-centeredness is gone when your spiritual eyes are open. Jesus is number one. And Bartimaeus was standing there. Oh, God, I see Bartimaeus standing there. The donkey had just stepped on his coat. The donkey had just walked over his coat. And he was looking only at Jesus. And as Jesus was riding off in the distance, People all the way down that street were saying, if the Timaeus kid can offer his only coat that he's got, if the Timaeus kid can give all he's got to worship the Lord, you could see going down the road people taking off their coat saying, if the Timaeus kid can worship, I can worship. And they worshiped him with all the palm branches and the coats all the way into the city. Can you say amen to that? That's what he saw in the spirit on Thursday. He was probably close enough to the upper room where they had the Last Supper. And what did he see with his spiritual eyes? He looked possibly in the windows of the upper room. And there he saw Jesus with a pan of water, with a towel, washing the feet of his disciples. And I believe his spiritual eyes were opened and he began to understand something, that there's something in the people around about you that's important. There's something about the people that you come in contact with at work. There's something about the people that you come in contact with your city on the job. No matter whatever it is that you're showing a house or you're selling a car or you're digging a ditch or you're teaching a lesson, there's something about that person that you're talking to that God has given you a divine appointment that you can say, you're important to me. I will wash your feet. Yes, I will sell you a car. Yes, I will teach you a lesson. Yes, I will sell this for you, but I'm here for another reason. My spiritual eyes are open. I'm here to lead you to an old-fashioned relationship with Jesus Christ so that you will know that if you were to die today, you would know exactly where you would spend eternity. Jesus, your eyes are open, and we see things in a spiritual reason for being. He watched Jesus as he was tied up at the whipping post and beaten and scourged, crucified. And I believe Bartimaeus' eyes were opened to the Old Testament when Isaiah said, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See, if your spiritual eyes will open, you'll understand you're not your own. You're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus, and you will glorify him 24/7 because he was wounded for you. 3 days later, he was hiding in the upper room when the women came back from the tomb, and they said, you're never going to believe it. We went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body today. The stone was rolled away. And there was an angel standing there, and a man said to us, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. His spiritual eyes were open to understand that all this 100 years or 90 years or 70 years or whatever is promised you is just a drop into the bucket to eternity. That was the most important thing on earth, is that he was resurrected from the dead. Bartimaeus was there when Jesus ascended up into heaven. Watched him go. And the angel of the Lord told him, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you saw go away will come again in like manner. And he will receive you unto himself, that where he is, there you may be also. See, when our spiritual eyes are open, the things of earth don't really amount to a hill of beans. What really matters is eternity. What really matters is spiritual eyes. We're open to the fact that Bartimaeus was probably in the upper room praying and tarrying till the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place in one accord, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the room where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like a fire set upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And his spiritual eyes were opened, and he understands this, that being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, having the gift of speaking with other tongues, and the gift of prophecy, that others in the world would mock and say that of Satan. Bartimaeus' eyes were open. He understand that to be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God is the greatest gift on earth that anybody could give you, is to be bubbling over, full of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, out of your belly flowing rivers of living water. My friend, it only comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you can only get it at the altars with your eyes being open and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit, not just my spirit." Oh, my goodness. Time is flying. I got to get going. It's time to quit. It's about over here. Seeing is believing. Lord, open up my eyes. My prayer for you today is that you pray, "Lord, that I might see things." My prayer for you today is that just a few minutes, we're going to stand and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God. Seriously, if you want God to, if you want God to help you see things 24/7, a different dimension, spiritual eyes will cause the enemy to flee. Spiritual eyes will cause oppression to leave. Spiritual eyes will cause selfishness to be gone. Spiritual eyes will cause you to look at things from a brand new perspective like you've never seen it before. Spiritual eyes, Lord. Just a few minutes, I'm going to pray for you that you'll join me and my family and this staff in asking God to open our spiritual eyes. Sometimes people say, "Why are you doing things like that? Don't you understand?" Yeah, we understand. "Don't you see things going on around about you?" Yeah, we see that. Aren't you concerned about those things that are coming against you? No, they don't concern us. Why? Because we have spiritual eyes. We know that all things work together for good. We're going to pray for you today that you too might have spiritual eyes from this day forward.